The moment Kelly Ripa saw Mark Consuelos' photograph pinned to the casting board at All My Children, something clicked. Not a casual attraction, but a bone-beep certainty that defied logic. She was 24, standing in a rehearsal hall with Velcro rollers in her hair, a massive pimple covered in toothpaste, wearing a green leotard with ripped jeans and cowboy boots. He was 23, impossibly handsome, fresh from Spain. When they met, she broke into nervous chatter. "Hi, you sure you want to work here? Look at me. I used to be beautiful like you." That night, she dreamed of him taking her and their little girl to Rome, a premonition that would prove eerily accurate. Within months, after a brief breakup that only intensified their connection, they eloped in Vegas. This wasn't Hollywood romance. It was two people recognizing something ancient and inevitable in each other. 25 years later, watching him in green swim trunks with windswept black hair and Olympic athlete physique, she still wonders if he's secretly CIA or has another family somewhere. The secret to their marriage? The dark art of compromise. Sometimes you go to war with each other, sometimes for each other. There's North Jersey and South Jersey, just like the Carolinas, but minus the blessings of the hearts and cracker barrels. South Jersey claims the best tomatoes, corn, peaches, hoagies, never heroes, and custard. They're home to Hamilton, the blueberry capital of the world, though they don't brag with obnoxious banners like North Jersey does. What unites all Jersey folks is their love of the shore, heated conversations, lifelong grudges, family-style dining, and resolving conflicts with food offerings. When Jersey people meet outside the state, they congregate and loudly proclaim how everything's better back home, whether disrupting the Sistine Chapel or French hotel buffets. Even during a treacherous hike in Greece, Kelly heard that unmistakable Jersey volume. "Holy shit, that's Mark Consuelos!" A couple from Jersey City insisted on photos despite her dehydration-induced hallucinations. Jersey people find each other globally because they share that unmistakable confidence, directness, and warmth. They're like human homing pigeons, drawn to that familiar mix of attitude and heart. In October 2000, Angela Shapiro asked if Kelly would guest host with Regis. Kelly was secretly 8 weeks pregnant and terrified, exhausted, but unable to say no to her mentor. Producer Alyssa Shapiro briefed her, "Don't look at Gelman, participate but don't fade after host chat, let Regis lead, speak only when he's not." During a segment with psychic Char Margolis, Kelly's worst fears materialized when Char connected with her deceased grandmother Esther, then announced, "She's showing me another baby." The audience erupted as Regis declared, "Kelly Ripa is pregnant, news on the show." When she accepted the permanent co-host position, bizarre contract stipulations followed. No personal hair and makeup team, no wardrobe budget, no paid maternity leave despite her visible pregnancy, no office. Even her name had to be smaller than Regis's on all branding. After Michael's emergency C-section, Kelly and her 8-pound, 10-ounce son, nicknamed King Kong among the preemies, both stayed hospitalized for 5 days. When Michael went to the NICU as a precaution after Kelly developed a fever, she nearly had a breakdown. Her heart rate spiked until her doctor arranged a visit. After hours waiting for a wheelchair, her best friend Gretchen simply borrowed one. Holding Michael, Kelly forgot everything. He recognized her voice, locked eyes with her, and she promised things would get better. Complications continued when Dr. Biggers discovered 2 more ovarian cysts after one had ruptured during intimacy. As Kelly lay there wondering when the next would burst, while holding her son, in the shower, Mark contentedly munched saltines and ordered apple juice like he was at a spa. When he asked about resuming sex, Kelly hoped she'd scream, "Never," but the doctor gave them clearance. Then Mark surprised her by suggesting they wait 6 weeks, a simple kindness that nearly brought her to tears. Growing old gracefully sounds noble until you work on camera. The pandemic's work-from-home shift triggered a cosmetic procedure boom. Plastic surgeons must be thriving. Kelly's journey began with Botox for armpit sweating, which turned out to be anxiety. This became her gateway into cosmetic procedures. Soon after, she became tabloid fodder. The National Enquirer published weekly fiction claiming she feared losing her husband, envied everyone on television, and had undergone endless procedures. Facelifts, implants, nose jobs, brow lifts, and the favorite headline, Kelly's secret boob job. What went wrong? When the stories finally stopped, she panicked. She must look terrible. Time for actual procedures. She visited Dr. Brandt, who danced in wearing head-to-toe Prada. The Botox was transformative. Her 11s and crow's feet vanished instantly. There's nothing graceful about aging, especially when others' opinions infiltrate how we view ourselves. Early parenthood's exhaustion paled beside the joy that made sleep irrelevant. When Michael chose NYU, Kelly and Mark marveled at his spacious dorm, 4 times her first apartment size. Yet, arriving home, they found Michael already there, unable to last 5 hours away. Then came Lola, their California dreaming daughter who rejected any school without palm trees. A talented singer-songwriter, she insisted on NYU's Clive Davis Institute, not following her brother, just coincidentally the same campus. Joaquin, their youngest, couldn't tour colleges in person. By kindergarten, Kelly noticed his struggles with letters and numbers. The diagnosis? Profound dyslexia and dysgraphia, though his comprehension and vocabulary soared exceptionally high. After specialized schooling, he gained acceptance everywhere, choosing University of Michigan. Walking to their rental car in Ann Arbor, Kelly replayed his life. Bassinet, crawling, Sunday morning bed climbs. "I really didn't know it would go so fast," she choked out. As you turned away, she called, "Wait, Joaquin, one more," expecting him to laugh and return. But he didn't. He walked away and kept going. Despite hosting a talk show for over 20 years, Kelly felt unexpected discomfort publicizing her own book. 18 grueling months of writing transformed light stories into complex emotional excavations. Some memories weren't just unfunny, they were painful revelations about casual indignities she'd normalized for years. While she's a studio extrovert who understands her assignment to entertain, the private her would rather vanish than face a book tour. But here's the truth. We've known each other a long time. You've welcomed her into your homes for decades, watched her children grow, celebrated triumphs, and offered silent support through unbearable losses. These stories provide insight into what it really took to stay here, even through periods so destabilizing that getting out of bed seemed insurmountable. Kelly's story reminds us that survival isn't about grace. It's about showing up when you're terrified and exhausted. It's about loving fiercely, aging honestly, and letting your children go even when it breaks your heart. The greatest performance isn't the one you give on camera, it's the one you give yourself permission to stop performing.